Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. It is a Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. A Tuesday edition, a Game 1 edition of the AL Wild Card. Astros drop Game 1 today, 3-1. So many angles to look at this game. Framber Valdez, Joe Espada managing his first ever playoff game. Did he show that he was a manager managing his first ever playoff game? And then you had the Astros rally in the ninth inning but fall short. Jason Hayward, a line drive to first that looked like it was going to find the outfield, looked like it was going to tie the game perhaps if it got through, does not. Astros in a hole. They are a game away from their 2024 season coming to a close.
Yeah, not good. Not what you were expecting or hoping for. But look, you know, on the brighter side of things, you faced the American League Cy Young Award winner. You faced a guy that was dealing, that has unbelievable stuff, and you know, you saw it. And unfortunately, the Astros came up short. They really didn't do anything offensively until that last inning. Too little, too late. But they, you know, they had moments that had us all on the edge of their seat. So now you got to assume Hunter Brown has to be your savior tomorrow.
Astros have not announced that yet. They have not announced a starter. Joe Espada said before the game that he will announce a starter after today's game. He said that the outcome of today's game wouldn't determine who is starting tomorrow. I believe if Joe Espada is being truthful with us there, I think it would be Hunter Brown. My biggest takeaway of this game is you didn't score enough. Like, you can't win a game. I guess you can, but you're not going to win many games whenever you score one run. You're not going to win many games when that one run comes in the final inning. Framber Valdez was not very good. Framber Valdez didn't have his best stuff. That was evident with Joe Espada pulling Framber when he did. 4 1/3 after just 78 pitches. Why would Joe Espada take him out there? Because Framber was not sharp. Framber's curveball was poor. Joe Espada mentioned during the telecast that everything was up. Go back, look at Framber's pitches. Fastball up, sinker up, curveball up. Where does Framber excel? At the bottom of the zone, getting tons of ground balls. Framber Valdez was not good, although if your pitching staff only allows 3 runs in a game, you should win. The biggest storyline to me is the offense did not show up against a really good pitcher. The AL Cy Young, tipped my cap to him, but the offense wasn't good enough, and then Framber was not himself.
Yeah, no. You know, your best hope going into a game like that is you try and jump on Skubal early, get a run or two across, and then pitch from a position of strength. But as you mentioned, Framber just didn't seem like he had his best stuff all day today. It seemed like he was fighting himself. He found it difficult to find the zone in a lot of cases, and when he did find the zone, he was middle up, and he gave up some really hard hit baseballs that kind of dug the early hole for the Astros they could never quite get out of. So, unfortunate set of circumstances, not completely unpredictable when you're facing a guy like Skubal, but you're right, the offense has to be better, has to do better, and you in a situation like that, you got to hope to push some early runs across, at least one or two against a guy like that.
We'll be reacting the rest of the day if you want to. We'll get your reactions to the Astros dropping Game 1. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. 6517, too many automatic outs in this lineup. Dana needed to add a bat. This is on him. There are a lot of automatic outs in this lineup. After Yiner Diaz, and Yiner Diaz, say what you will about Yiner Diaz, doesn't have the greatest plate discipline, did draw a great walk today. Mm-hmm. Now, that last inning, maybe got a little fortunate, got a piece of the 0-2 pitch, stayed alive, got a ground ball through the right side. But after that, you have Jeremy Pena, who is not a good offensive player. Victor Caratini will give you some at-bats. He had the little soft line drive to left field. I thought that ball was getting down. I thought Caratini had tied the game before Chaz McCormick came up. Mauricio Dubon was 0-2. Jake Meyers was 0 for 2. You didn't get any production after Yiner Diaz, really. I mean, you got one hit after Yiner Diaz today, and that was Caratini, who was 1 for 4.
Yeah, and, you know, you're playing matchups as well, because you look at that and say, you know, from a lot of eyeballs perspective, when you look at just you want the best hitters in the lineup, is Jake your best hitter? It doesn't matter. You're trying to play a matchup. Jake's in the lineup. Pena hasn't been hitting well himself. But you look at it, and you know that as much as you got rid of a guy like Maldi last year, that was an automatic out at the bottom of the lineup. Bottom of the lineup right now isn't too much better, and whether you added a bat or not, you know, it's a tough situation. Your bench isn't loaded and fortified with a lot of guys that you can turn to anyway.
Yeah, you have people tweeting already saying that the Astros are done for the year. It was a good run. Look forward to next year. I'm not there with the Astros. The Astros had the pitching advantage tomorrow, whether it's Hunter Brown or Kikuchi. They had the pitching advantage the next day. So I still like the Astros' chances in this series. I think that they have a coin flip chance to win the series. Now, it's difficult to beat a playoff team back-to-back days. Obviously, you would have felt really good if you win today, but I'm not saying that the season is over because the Astros dropped the game today. I also like the fight there in the ninth inning. Like, yes, who cares about the late rally? Who cares about momentum, et cetera, et cetera? I actually believe in that. Like, I believe that the Astros putting together some good plate appearances in the ninth inning, I think that will carry over to tomorrow. I think the Astros, even though they lost today, even though their backs are against the wall tomorrow, you can't get tight. You're going to have to play loose. But I feel like they're going to look at that ninth inning and be like, okay, they gave us Tarik Skubal with a right hook to the face. He knocked us down, but we liked what we did against the bullpen, scratching a run, bringing the tying run, actually bringing the winning run to first base. We feel good about what we did in the ninth. They're throwing the bullpen tomorrow. They're throwing the bullpen the next day. I feel like the Astros, even though they lose today and they're one game away from elimination because of that ninth inning, I feel like they do have a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I think that when you look at it, like I said from the jump here, that you're facing a guy that's as good as Skubal, but you know what? At the end of the day, you had a fighting chance. You had a chance to tie that ball game. You saw their bullpen, and you know that, you know, like as you pointed out, they put together a really good effort down the stretch. There was no quit in them. They had some good at-bats. So they got to feel like, if you're looking at the positive side of things, we should have an advantage with the pitchers tomorrow, and we should have guys that should feel good about the fact that now Skubal's in your rearview mirror and you won't see him the rest of the series. You should have an advantage. It would be great if you can, you know, jump on whoever they pitch tomorrow early, put a run or two on the board, and build some more confidence. But there's plenty of reasons to say that they should feel confident going into tomorrow now that Skubal's behind him, and they still almost had a, you know, chance to tie the game in the last inning.
What'd you make of Fromber today?
He just didn't have his stuff. He didn't have his A game. I'm not going to get into anything more than that. I'm not going to think it's a bigger deal than it was. Some days you have it and some days you don't. He obviously didn't have it. You know, normally there's a lot of bite on his breaking pitches, and he's got really good control to move the breaking pitches to finish either on the inside back foot or move it to the outside where, you know, the late movement gets you to the corner. He missed up with everything. He couldn't pinpoint his pitches, and it just wasn't his day. And with all that being said, he still only gave up 3 runs.
Yeah, I thought that he battled. He just couldn't find that. Really, just it was the second inning. Like, I didn't think he was sharp at all, but at least the innings that he pitched, he didn't give up a run except for that second inning. And even in that second inning, he was, I mean, 5 feet away from getting out of the inning with the double play. Parker Meadows grounded into what looked like a double play off the bat, beats it out, prolongs the inning, and then you get a Jake Rogers single on a 3-0 count. Fromber's command was poor today. 3-0 count to Jake Rogers, the 8-hole hitter, A.J. Hinch, RBI situation. Let's give him a green light. He's going to get a fastball right down the middle. He did. Base hit into center field. 9-hole hitter, Trey Sweeney comes up. Base hit, scores another run. Matt Vierling, the leadoff man, base hit into center field. All three of the Tiger runs today came with two outs in the second inning.
Yep.
So Fromber couldn't deliver that final blow to get out of the inning. Almost did with the ground ball. And then you look how that inning started. You know, Perez got a one-out single. And then you walk Spencer Torkelson. Like, that's the real killer there, is that you allowed a walk. You allowed a base runner throw a strike there. Maybe you get the out on Torkelson. Now there's two outs instead of one out for Parker Meadows, and you don't have to worry about him beating out a double play ball. So really, it was the second inning. Fromber was not sharp. Fromber's command was poor, but just couldn't get out of that second inning. Lack of command, but that's the one that did Fromber in. But I would still put the blame on the offense more than anything else.
Yeah, and when you look at it, too, the hits that he gave up, they were no doubters. They were lasers. They were hit, barreled up, hit about 100 miles an hour or more, all three of them, that were just drilled to where when Fromber's on his game, he's getting softer contact. He's getting those ground balls. He's spinning into double play balls. And today he was getting barreled up. And when you're getting barreled up, that means you're normally missing in the middle of the zone and over the heart of the plate. And when you go back and look at some of those pitches, he absolutely was. And I don't know, you know, when you're ahead in a count 0-2, you know, there's a really good probability that you need to kind of throw something that's out of the zone. Yeah, you want it to be somewhat competitive. You just don't need it anywhere near that box. And you know, you can get killed if you do. And the 3-0 pitch, I just had a bad feeling from the jump that 3-0, he was just going to throw one right down Main Street. He got it turned right back around at him.
Yeah, I like that decision from Hinch. I like being aggressive on 3-0 counts and RBI situations. That's the best chance for Rodgers to get a hit there and deliver an RBI, you know, base hit, an RBI single in the case there. Josh Hader came into the game down by three runs in the ninth inning. I thought Espada handled the bullpen pretty well, actually, up until the ninth inning. I feel like what he did in the middle part of the game to get it to the back and down by three, I thought was pretty solid. Like, you pull Fromber Valdez. I thought he pulled Fromber Valdez in the perfect time. People were like, oh, he pulled him out too early, or Fromber was unhappy. Well, Fromber, if he was unhappy, should have pitched better. Mm-hmm. That would have dictated him going deeper into this game. I thought he pulled Fromber out at the right time before it was worse. Going to Neris in that spot makes sense to me because Neris does have experience working with runners on base, high leverage situations, trying to be a fireman of sorts. He was a little shaky, but was able to get out of it. Then you play the matchup game. You go with King to face the lefties. You go Ronel Blanco with multiple innings. Caleb Ferguson to get a lefty. I thought the way that Espada handled the bullpen was really good until the ninth inning. I hated the idea of using Josh Hader down by three runs with in game one of the wild card. Because if you do not get the comeback, and the comeback's not likely, like how often are you scoring three or more runs against the back end of a playoff team's bullpen? Not very often. It's not an elimination game. The wild card series, you play three games in 3 days. I hated the idea of using Hader in the ninth inning down by three.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. I'm with you up until that point because I agreed when they took Fromber out. I had no problem with it, and he just didn't have his A-game stuff, and you couldn't afford to let the thing get any further out of hand. The rest of the guys did their job, but we were all talking about it, watching this thing play out. Like, what the hell is he doing, and why is he doing it? I just don't understand it. I mean, you're going to need, obviously, if you're going to lose this game, but we always talk about when's the best time to use your closer. Well, maybe if it's a tie game or you're in the lead. But three down, I don't like using Josh Hader when you know that if you don't win this game, you're going to probably need him the next 2 days. It's not ideal to pitch him three games in a row. You hope that you have an offensive explosion enough where you don't have to use your leverage guys much, if at all. Mm-hmm. But you can't count on that. And this is the playoffs where every situation matters. And I'd rather have a fully loaded Josh Hader going into game two and game three than I would having to burn him down three runs just to keep you close enough. Yeah. I didn't like it at all.
Even if the Astros win the game, I don't like the decision. Now, if you win the game, it allows Espada to be off the hook for a poor decision, because everybody's like, well, look, he did. He kept it to a three-run game. Astros rallied. They won. That would have let Espada off the hook. The other thing that would let Espada off the hook is if you win by 10 runs tomorrow and don't have to use Hader. But again, that's not very likely. So I hated the decision to use Hader there. I'm okay. Like, every run that you're down in the postseason is the worse and the more egregious that it gets whenever you use your closer. Like, if you're in a tie game in that spot, okay, it makes sense. I'm okay using your closer down by a run, sure, in that spot. In the postseason, yeah, you're a home run away from tying it. So I'm okay even using the closer down by a run. Two runs, I start to get to the territory where I'm like, don't love this in a game one of a series, especially a wild card series in which you have to play three games in 3 days. It makes a little bit more sense down by two. To me, the line of demarcation is when you're down by three. In no way should the closer be in the game down by three in game one of the wild card series. If your season was on the line, if it's an elimination game for you, okay, I can understand, mm-hmm, that. But not in game one of the wild card series down by three. That was a poor decision by Espada. That was one of two questionable moves I saw from Espada, but that one by far trumps anything else that he did.
I don't like it at all, and I don't even like it getting to the three-run mark. If it's tied or you're down one, I understand it. It's a playoff game, so I might lean a little bit at two. That's it. I mean, three runs down, especially with the fact that your offense was giving you absolutely nothing, the last thing I want to do is take a guy and maybe have him a little less than for the next 2 days when I'm going to need him. And it, based on the scenario playing out until you got to the ninth inning and you weren't there yet, it looked like your offense was just going to lay down and play dead, and you were going to have to win two in a row. If I got to win two in a row, I need my closer, and I need him at his best, and I need him for the next two games. And I have other guys that are still in my bullpen that I could use to get me through the ninth inning so that I could do that. And I don't like the decision then. I don't like it now. And now, I guess if you're an Astros fan, the first thing you hope for is hopefully they got a three-run lead or a big lead to where they don't have to worry about those back three.
They will still use him in a three-run lead. I think you have to. He's shown all regular season he'll use him in a four-run lead. So there's no way that in a playoff game with a four-run lead he won't go to his leverage guys. I think it would have to be five runs or greater.
Leverage guys, but well, I think I can see I could see him going to Abreu and Presley.
See, if he's going to use Hader down by three, he's not going to use him up by four.
Up by three or four, I'm not using him unless I have to.
He used him down by three today.
I know.
He's not using him up by four tomorrow with the season on the line.
I wouldn't do it unless I absolutely had to. I would, unless there gave me a reason. If I went to the other two guys, if I went to Presley, if I went to Abreu, and if they put a couple guys on or they put a guy on, then I'd start to worry about it enough that I'd have to use them.
Yeah.
But unless I had to, I'd rely on the other two guys tomorrow.
I gotta go with Hader if it's four runs or less. 4662, be real. Seriously, if a spotter brings anyone else and it gets out of hand, aren't we second-guessing there too? If not Hader there, then who? Go look at my Twitter, at Jeremy Branham. I live tweet because I try to make decisions before I can play hindsight. I don't love the hindsight game. I was, and we were watching it in the bullpen. We're all, as soon as Hader was shown in the bullpen warming up in the eighth, we're like, what is the spot to do? As soon as he was shown in the pen, at which point it's like, well, maybe it's a just-in-case scenario. If they score in the bottom of the eighth, it closes the gap, then maybe use him. So we were second-guessing it before Josh Hader ever towed the mound. And then who? Anybody else? Anybody else? How likely is it for you to come back down by three runs against one of the very best bullpens in all of baseball, and you're trying to increase your chances of winning two games in 3 days? If you're trying to increase your chances of winning two games in 3 days, using Hader in the ninth inning down by three does the opposite of that. So it's not revisionist history, second guessing, blah, blah, blah. 8779, I disagree with you on Hader. It's a three-game playoff series. Not going to fault the manager for trying to win every game. You don't have to win every game of a three-game series. You have to win two of them. So saying I don't fault the manager trying to win every game of a three-game series is a silly comment. You need to win two of the three, not all three. 4488, instead of Hader, who are you using? Again, literally anybody else.
Yep.
I probably would have kept Caleb Ferguson in the game. And then if you have to use a righty out of the bullpen, maybe, if you feel like you're hell-bent on using a leverage guy, then Brian Abreu, who's a little bit more of an iron man and a workhorse, all of that. But I'm trying to avoid those guys the very most that I can. I'd probably just leave Ferguson in the game, though. And if it gets out of hand, oh well. I'm playing game two tomorrow that I need to win anyways. I'm probably not going to win using Hader down by three, and then I have to win game three.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at this, and you know, because of the fact that it got close in the ninth inning, that there was a lot of emotion that said, you know, that they think differently now. But at the time, it looked like they could muster absolutely nothing offensively. They couldn't get anybody to third base. They couldn't do anything that said that they were going to have a puncher's chance going any further. And you knew you were going to need a two wins in a row and need your guys. I disagree with you in the fact that I don't think that I would even gone to Abreu there. I could have thrown Presley there, because then Presley, regardless of what you think of Presley, he's been hot and cold, and down the stretch, he wasn't, you know, someone that I felt great about. But then I still got my highest of high leverage guys in Abreu and Hader waiting for the next 2 days. And like you said, both guys can give you multiple innings. Both guys can give you multiple days. They don't have issues going, you know, 2 or 3 days in a row.
Presley has.
No,
Presley,
but that's what I'm saying. But if Presley, then you burn him. But I still got the other two horses that I need at the back end for the next two games.
I like the premise there way more than using Abreu. But again, literally anybody else.
Right.
Like literally anybody else. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Was at the game today. Got a single seat in section 134. Unbelievable game leading up into the ninth. I completely agree with Jeremy. There's no reason at all when you have three games in 3 days to pitch Hader down 3-0. I was sitting next to Astros fans, obviously. They were all stunned. The one Tigers fan I sat next to, decked out in Detroit gear, was absolutely thrilled that they were burning him in this game. It made no sense. You had anybody, Arrighetti, you could have kept Blanco out there. Obviously, he's a long arm. It made no sense to use the leverage guys when you have to win tomorrow. Fun ninth inning, but also, side note, Tucker and Yordan, they have no speed on the base pass with those injuries. It's just brutal to watch.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, it's if they're on the bases, though, it's not as big a deal. Appreciate the call, Keith. Hope you had fun at the game despite the loss. Your thoughts on Hader in the ninth inning? People were more divided on this than I thought, which is surprising to me. The Astros have announced a starter for tomorrow's game as well. Hunter Brown will get the start tomorrow. But what Joe Espada said about Yusei Kikuchi might shock you. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is the place I always tell you you need to be if you want to put money down on sports, if you're feeling good about the Astros tomorrow, if you know something and want to play something when there's a college game coming up, a pro game, another baseball game in the playoffs. You name it, if there's a sport on that's on TV and you want to bet on it, chances are you can bet on it at MyBookie.ag, and they're always taking care of their customers. They're doing it again right now. They got a deposit match going on for your first deposit if you use our promo code BET975. And keep that promo code in mind no matter when and any time that they ask you for a code. BET975 opens the door for you to get more. It's that simple. When you go in and put money into an account, when you sign up at MyBookie.ag and use our promo code BET975, they're going to put money on top of it instantly, up to $1,000. More money in your account shows up as the minute that you look in and see what you've deposited. And before you know it, more money you in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. And they've got a great community at mybookie.ag on the website, too. You can follow the in-game bets. You can get the props. You can look at interacting with people that are like-minded as they're putting money down on games. You can watch games, and you can also interact with your community. And every time you're at mybookie.ag putting money down, make sure you register and you're signed up for the MyBookie Plus program, because the more you bet, the more they notice when you sign up for MyBookie Plus, and the better you get kinds of deals like I'm talking about right now. As you move up the tiers of the MyBookie Plus program, as you are more frequently using MyBookie, you can get better deals, better promotions, and taken care of even better by the people at MyBookie. But always use our promo code because that's important, BET975. That opens that door that you need for more. But check them out today. Go to MyBookie.ag. It's like I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's MyBookie.ag, and use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
4447, you're dead wrong as usual. J-Bone, 6482. I thought the same thing when I seen Hader warming up. There's no need to bring him in unless maybe you're down one run and you want to keep it tight. Hader pitched 1.5 innings a game. Let him pitch in all three games. Stop being a wuss. Okay, let's use him in game one when they're down by three, and then let's lessen his efficiency. That way, when you really need him to preserve a one-run lead in game three in the ninth, he's not even close to 100%. 4113, you asked how likely a comeback was in the broadcast. They said there has been one win in playoff history when the home team was down three heading into the ninth. That's a long shot.
That's just for winning one game, right? Not the series.
Right. Yeah. He's saying that a playoff team has never in playoff history, well, one time in playoff history, has a home team won when they're down by three heading into the ninth. Preserving it, there's a chance to win. It would be the second time in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah. From the standpoint of that, adding more fuel to your fire to not use Hader, okay. And look, and yet we were still sitting here, and I swear to you, I thought that Caratini's was more of a bloop. I thought that was going to fall down the left field line, and then Todd Frazier said he really got that one. It didn't seem that way. And then Hayward seemed like, off the bat, first glance, that was going to be down in the corner to possibly tie or win the game. But you can't count on that. And when you know that you're at home and you're going to look like you're going to lose game one before you even get to a scenario where you had a chance, I just don't like the fact that you're burning your closer. There's other options for you to use that aren't as important and as big of a factor in this series as Josh Hader.
I'm with you on that, Adrian. I'm torn on Hader coming into the ninth. On one hand, you're down by three. Why are you bringing in your closer in hopes that your offense finally wakes up? And you're the second team in playoff history to come back down by three entering the ninth. That's a home team. But on the other hand, it's the freaking playoffs in a three-game series. You treat every game as if it's your last. I think I lean more towards being okay with Hader coming in. Okay, I think that's foolish. I don't think that in any way you should be treating every single playoff game as it's your last. So they should have used Fromber for 4 2/3. They should have brought in Hunter Brown for 3, and they should have closed it out with Kikuchi, because that would be like treating every single playoff game like it's your last. You can't do that. You got to think big picture. Like, it is a series for a reason, and you're trying to win 2 of the 3, and you have to make managerial decisions that give you the best chance to win 2 of 3. Astros could still very well win this series. I still think they will win this series, but using Hader today lessened your chances of winning 2 games in the 3-game series than it increased your, it didn't increase your chances. It decreased them for sure, because he's going to be less effective the more the series goes on, and the more you use him in the series, if you do use him all 3 games.
I was going to say, you have to be hopeful then that you're in a position, because I believe they're going to win the series as well, but you have to hopefully be in a position that you don't have to use him tomorrow, so that you buy that day off so that he is as fresh as he can be for a Game 3 then, because of the fact that you look at it and say, maybe just Joe Espada not having confidence in anybody else because he wanted to go to Hader there instead of any of the other arms he could have chosen that would have given you the same opportunity to keep it within 3. I don't like it. I actually hate it, to be honest with you. We hated it at the time. I hate it more now, because you know how necessary Hader's probably going to be a factor in probably both games. And I don't want him, and I don't like the scenario of can't get too far ahead of yourself. But if he pitches 3 days in a row, then what does that do if you do have the luck and the privilege to advance? Yep. Because now he's burnt with 3 games in a row. He's going to need a day or two, probably minimum, before you throw him again.
Yeah. Do you have the off day? Does it go straight into the division series?
I'm saying there's 1 day for sure that you're going to get off.
Yeah, so that would help.
And then to see that game one, you're probably looking like he's not available.
I mean, if you're willing to use him 3 games in a row, I think that you're willing to use him 4 or 5 days. Does it lessen his effectiveness?
Yes, I think it does.
But I think if you're willing to use him 3 games in a row, you're darn sure willing to use him 4 times in 5 games. 5044, the TV graphic said the teams are 1 in 538. So 539 times, the Astros, the team has only won once when trailing by 3 runs or more. So the TV graphic said teams are 1 in 538 when trailing by 3 or more runs in the ninth. 1 in 539 now. Everybody should listen to the Killer Bees, because they're absolutely correct about Hader.
Again, if you're 1 down, if you're tied, or if you're in the lead, that's when I use my closer. I'm not using my closer 3 down. I'm just not doing it.
7557, didn't like the Hader call today, but getting to the ninth with the chance made it worth it. Did it? You're still down 1-0.
You lost.
Like, you're still down 1-0. How did that make it worth it? And anybody else could have also pitched a scoreless ninth. Like just because you used Hader doesn't mean that somebody else could not have pitched a scoreless ninth. In fact, Hader made it a little bit nervous. Mm-hmm. There's a runner at second base with 1 out. Another reliever could have put up a goose egg there, and you're still down by 3 and entering the same daunting scenario in the bottom of the ninth inning.
That you don't know what you don't know, because we didn't see anybody else. But at that point, based on the numbers that were just brought up multiple times, and the fact that you know that's probably, if you're planning on winning this series, it's going to be a 3-game series. And you're going to need all the best hands on deck. There were other guys that you could have put in that position to at least keep you as close. And if they didn't, oh well, because you didn't have any clue that it was going to get to a point where you could look back at it and say, gosh, they were 1 hit close. They were that close. They mounted a rally. Because all day, did anything give you the possibility of a rally and give you the possibility that this offense was going to put something together?
No. No, credit to them that they did rally in the ninth, but the answer to that question would be no. No. And then the second managerial decision that I didn't like, that small peanuts compared to the Hader decision. When Yordan Alvarez led off the ninth inning with a double, and he was at second base with nobody out, and you're down by 3, why are you pinch running there? Like, you're not stretching Yordan to try to score on a base hit to center field or anywhere when you're down by 3 runs anyways. You're not going to run into an out. A base hit, he's going to coast into third. A base hit, he's going to coast in and score. There's nobody at first base. He's at second, so he has a 180-foot buffer on the nearest base runner. What if you get to an extra inning situation? Like, what if Hayward ties the game there? What if Hayward ties the game, you go into the 10th, which you don't have the Manfred man anymore, and then all of a sudden Zach DiZinzo's up in a big spot? Why? Because you felt like you needed a pinch runner with a runner at second and nobody out for Yordan, when he could have easily coasted to third, could have easily coasted home.
Yeah, you look at that and you say, look, again, just like we were talking about with Hader, when I said if it's tied or a one-run game, and that one run is so important and so necessary, whether it's going to be tagging up from third base to need speed or scoring on a single from second base, and he's the lead runner, that runner that's so important, that makes total sense. When you're down 3 runs in the ball game and he's the first runner you've got on base trying to mount a rally, I don't understand it either, because of the fact that you know your bench is thin already. You've already made several substitutions to burn a lot of guys on your bench. And if you are trying to get to a scenario where you can push it to extra innings, you're going to need to turn the lineup over. And at a certain point, I'd rather have Yordan Alvarez, because the one thing we know, if he can't run and he can't field balls in the outfield, the one thing that he can do, based on the fact that he hit that laser up the middle right on early on to show you his timing was good and he could barrel up a baseball, I'd rather have him at the plate than just about any other Houston Astro. And him sitting on the bench out because of the fact that you made that substitution where you did made zero sense.
What are you gaining? Todd brings up in the Twitch, he says, you don't want Yordan sliding into home. Under what scenario is Yordan sliding into home down by three runs in the ninth inning when he has 180 feet cushion on the nearest base runner? It's not going to happen. And let's play out the scenario. What happened later in the inning after Yordan Alvarez reached second base? Later in the inning, you had Alex Bregman singled, like a single up the middle on the infield single, but Yordan Alvarez will cruise into third base there. He'll cruise into third base. Bregman single up the middle. Zach DeZinzo being in for Yordan, did that matter? No, it didn't. Yordan would have cruised into second base. What happened after that? Yiner Diaz hit a slow ground ball to right field that Yiner Diaz could have walked home. So Yiner Diaz, after being at second base with nobody out, could have walked to third base on the single by Alex Bregman up the middle, and then he could have walked to home plate on the Yiner Diaz single to right. There is not a scenario where Yordan Alvarez, down by three, if it was a one-run game,
no
much
doubt.
Different story. If it's a one-run game, much different story. But you're not going to risk, if there's a 1% chance that a base runner would be thrown out at home down by three in the ninth, it doesn't exist.
No.
Like, there is zero chance that Gary Pettis is going to risk a runner. It could have been anybody. It could have been your fastest base runner. They're not going to risk a play at the plate when they're down by three in the ninth in a playoff game. So pinch running there for Yordan Alvarez was pointless. Was pointless.
Yeah, because, to your point, look, I'm all on board if that's a one-run ball game. If that's a one-run ball game, whether I burn Gray Kessinger or I go to DeCenzo, I know I'm going to need wheels. I know I can't jeopardize. Look, we saw what happened when Yordan tried to get to first base early in the ballgame on the potential pickoff play. That looked awkward. That looked painful. That told you everything you need to know about the only thing that he can do right now, and that's hit a baseball. And once he does hit a baseball, if that's a situation where it's do or die, one run ties the game, then I totally understand a guy with wheels that can slide that you're not worried about. But if you're down three and he's the lead runner to start an inning off, and you know, hey, best case scenario, I'm trying to tie this game and force extras, or I'm trying to get back into it, then that lead runner is not going to be all that important. And you, as base coaches, are going to be telling them every step of the way, do not do anything stupid right now.
And it would have been for anybody. It would have been the same for Yordan as it would have been Jeremy Pena.
Tucker.
Like anybody. 2971 says sack fly. You're not going to risk an out at the plate down by three runs on a potential sack fly. You could get a sack fly in that situation, but the only time a runner is going to advance from third base to home down by three in a playoff game on a potential sacrifice fly is when they can backflip home. That's the only time.
You're not running into an extra out.
You're not running into a chance to get an out.
If there's one out, especially if there's two outs, but if in any situation, you're not going to give the opportunity to get a second out on a fly ball, no matter who it is, down three runs.
Yeah,
you're just not going to do it.
Yeah, sack fly. 2585, sliding at the plate. 2585, we got beat, guys. Stop blaming some late-game calls by our manager. We got our butts kicked. We couldn't hit for crap on to tomorrow. Okay, that could be true, but we got to talk for the next 44 minutes. So you sound like a really fun guy to talk to about the game. 60-30, Joe Silas showed his scared management skills. Also, when are we firing Alex Cintron? I think Alex Cintron always takes the blame for poor offensive games. It's like, oh, Cintron, he's the guy to blame.
Remember when Miller and Murphy were the scapegoat for everything going wrong with the pitching staff early in the season? Mm-hmm. It's the easiest crosshairs to get into from a fan base perspective is the hitting and the pitching coaches, depending on who's not doing their job. And we saw it happen all season long. We had the struggles with the pitching staff for a while. We knew that it never really synced up. So when one was good, the other was bad until they absolutely got on fire. And everybody wanted somebody fired. There's no heads that are going to roll because you face Tarik Skubal today. And Tarik Skubal is the best pitcher in the American League, and if not the best pitcher in baseball, one of them. And when you face a guy like that, there's no way you're going to put your hitting coach in the crosshairs and say, you got to do better, dude. No, because the hitters had to do their job, and it was a tough job to do in an uphill climb against a guy with an arm like that.
Yeah, offense to blame for me, but it's not Cintron. 4662, the doublespeak is wild. How would you leave Yordan in the game, citing it's a three-run game, and then not put Hader in because it's a three-run game? Makes zero sense. Joel, stop letting the double-mindedness go unchecked. I guess he's talking to me. much different scenarios. Like, Josh Hader has a gas tank as a pitcher. Like, he's got a tank as a pitcher. Going to him today uses a bit of the gas in his tank. And it's not going to be able to be filled back up if you use him today and tomorrow. And if you use him both tomorrow and then the next day. And if you use him tomorrow and the next day, he's going to be empty when he comes into the game. Yordan doesn't have a gas tank. We're asking him to cruise cautiously into the next base. Like, trying to compare the pitcher and the hitter there is one of the worst cross-references I've ever seen, quite frankly.
And I also have been very outspoken. In fact, I don't like either move because of the deficit that you were facing. I don't like using Hader because you're down three. I don't like trying to, you know, take Yordan out of the game, because if I am going to anticipate that if some rally does take place, that he's not the important run, they're not going to focus on him, and you're not going to do anything stupid. But if you are able to tie the game, which you're trying to do, his bat is so much more important than anybody on that roster that you could possibly use.
Yeah, the gain of adding a pinch runner in that spot, which is minimal at best, is not worth the risk of potentially losing Yordan in extras. 6805, what about a pass ball situation? Would you rather have Yordan or DeZinzo doing that? Again, I am not trying to take home plate if it risk an out at all. If there's a 1% chance at an out at the plate, I am not sending the runner down by three runs in the ninth. The run does not matter. Base runners matter. Bringing the tying run to the plate matter. You're not going to risk running into an out at the plate.
You need three runs. You don't need one. So therefore, you've heard the term used in baseball before, station to station. You don't run yourself out of an inning. You don't run yourself into an out. You're not going to be focused, nor is the defensive team going to be focused on that first run. They're going to be hyper-focused on making sure the tying run doesn't get on. If he does, he doesn't get into scoring position. And the fact that they don't get three. They're not even going to be focused on that lead guy. And if you are planning on tying the game, you need Yordan Alvarez if you do become lucky enough to be the 539th opportunity to get that opportunity.
One run game, I get it. Three run game does not matter. You're pulling your best bat out of the lineup for no reason. So Joe Espada after the game, he says that Hunter Brown will start tomorrow. He said tomorrow is a do or die game. If I have to use Kikuchi tomorrow, I will use Kikuchi tomorrow. What do you think of Joe Espada potentially having to use Yusei Kikuchi tomorrow? And we'll talk about the Jeremy Pena bunt in the ninth inning. What did you make of those decisions? What do you make of the potential decision to use Kikuchi tomorrow if he needs to? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, right here in the Med Center, is the best in the business at doing so many things. He does plastic surgery. He does Botox. They do spa treatments. But the one thing that I have personal experience with that I think you can really benefit from is the fact that he can get your hair back, and he can also take care of the hair that you have that's thinning with the treatments and the procedures that he has right here at his clinic. And you can find out all about it at 975hair.com. Go to 975hair.com, see all the information, sign up for a consultation. I'm telling you to do that because it costs you nothing. I'm never going to tell you to go and do that and spend your money just for the sake of spending your money. I'm telling you that because you listen to us and you're interested in what he could possibly do for you, you are going to get a free consultation if you go to 975hair.com and sign up for it. It costs $150 for people off the street. You don't have to pay a thing. And then you go in and they explain everything to you. And simply put, between the PRP treatments, which really is like fertilizing your lawn, there's still hair there. It's just not as strong and thick as it's been in the past. And using the PRP treatments can get that old hair back from the thickness and the strength and the overall appearance. And if and when they look at you in the consultation, they're going to tell you quite honestly, you can get by with PRP and we can get your hair back. If they are going to be honest with you and say, hey, you're far beyond PRP, there's not enough follicles left, let me explain to you what the NeoGraft does. Because the NeoGraft basically takes hair from areas you're never going to lose your hair, which is the sides and the back. I didn't know that till I had the consultation. They explained to me, when you see guys that are balding, they never lose the hair on the sides and the back. Everywhere else is possible. So what they do is take some of that, kind of resodding your lawn, put it where you need it most. The procedure, painless in my case, but really it's fairly quick. And the fact is, immediately you will see follicles put in place and there that weren't there before. And then in 6 to 9 months, when everything has a chance to settle in and follicles really grow and they plant their roots, you are going to see great, lush hair that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. Go to 975hair.com. Set up your consultation right now. Tell them I sent you by, because Doc Linville's the best in the business.
ESPN. 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. So Joe Espada, after the game, asked who will pitch tomorrow. He says Hunter Brown's going to get the start. Joe Espada, tomorrow is a do-or-die game. If I have to use Kikuchi tomorrow, I will use Kikuchi tomorrow. What do you think of the idea that if he must, he will use Kikuchi in game two?
I hate that. I hate it with a passion, because as much as I understand your season's on the line, we just talked about the guys you didn't use. We just talked about the guys in your pen that you still have that you can use. If you need another starter, you have another starter in your bullpen. You have the back end of your bullpen guys that are going to be available, but because it looks like if you are looking for advantages between you and the Tigers, they're going to probably look to go to an opener, but they're going to look to all hands on deck. I think, you know, A.J. Hinch said it was chaos. They were going to try and, you know, with glue and tape, piece together the next two games. You're in a distinct advantage by the fact that you have two above-average pitchers that are sitting there waiting to go. I would use everybody but Kikuchi tomorrow, just so that you have a guy that can give you innings, that can be effective in a game three should you get there. I don't like it. I don't think it's thinking too forward. I don't think it's like putting the cart in front of the horse in this case, because you have a lot of other quality arms you can go to.
Yeah, Oscar, I don't like it either. I think a lot of times whenever you have these do-or-die games, but you still have to win multiple games, people kind of overreact to that one singular game. Like, well, you got to win that one or you can't get to the other one, which is true. But you also can't advance if you don't win both. Right. So, like, you have to do what is best to win both games. You can't do what is best to win game two, and then all of a sudden you have absolutely nothing in game three, and you've killed your chances of winning a game three. So, yes, game two is a must win. But you know what other game is a must win? Game three. So you have to make decisions that give you the best chance to win both games. Other than, like, if there's not an extra inning game, like, I could see a little bit the idea of you've ran out of pitching, it's the 14th inning, and you say Kikuchi's the final guy left, and you have to use him. Okay, that's desperation, that's emergency, like, that's something that I would be okay with. But if you're going to Yusei Kikuchi tomorrow and the game's nine innings long, you've really, really emptied the tank to win a game two, and then you've really decreased your chances of winning a game three. So I'm not a fan of it. Oscar says there will be no game three if they don't win game two. Doofus, that's a great point. You're right. There is no ALDS if you don't win game two and game three. So, like, I don't like the idea of Yusei Kikuchi being in the bullpen a day before another must win, should you win tomorrow, if you're lucky enough. Like, if you get into a Roger Clemens 18-inning game situation, like he had to come in the game, okay, I get that. But there's no reason he should be in the bullpen in the first nine innings tomorrow.
No, and you're right about lessening the chances for the game two and the game three, and you need both wins, and you've got to give yourself a fighter's chance. We've already talked about guys you could use, but the reason why they set the roster up the way they did is they have a lot of quality arms on this team. They have guys that can go multiple innings that you can go to. You have guys that pitch today that you could go to tomorrow if you have to. But Kikuchi gives you the best chance, along with the back end of your bullpen guys that can go 2 days in a row, in the case of Presley and Abreu, no matter what happens with Hader tomorrow, to where that grossly shortens the amount of pitchers you're going to need tomorrow. Because if those guys each give you one, maybe one of them can give you two in the case of Abreu. And depending on how many you get from Kikuchi, you would assume he's probably hovering in around five. Then you're already through seven of the nine innings. I'll take that chance knowing that I've got guys that are above average that get a lot of outs, as opposed to trying to do what A.J. Hinch is going to do for the next 2 days and piece it all together, especially when a lot of your guys are going to be taxed.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not a fan of that quote from Espada. Huey in spring, Espada's doing dumb baseball again, overthinking and trying to force a magic moment. I think that's fair. I think using Hader in the ninth inning, and if potentially he uses Kikuchi tomorrow before extra innings, I would say that is up there too. What did you make of the Peña bunt in the ninth inning? The Astros had one across. You had runners at first and second. Nobody out. Tying runs at first base. Jeremy Peña represents the winning run. Lays down a bunt after fouling off a sacrifice bunt attempt and then lays it down on the second effort.
I had absolutely no problem with it because of the fact that, look, he has a tendency to flail and chase a lot of bad pitches. The last thing you need is a guy that doesn't give you anything, strikes out there. You don't have the runners in scoring position. If you do what he does, you give the guys coming up behind him, two guys have a chance to hit. You take yourself out of a double play ball, too, and all you need is one knock that could tie the ball game for you. I had absolutely no problem with it.
Yeah, I think that it what he's doing that day matters. Like, I don't think that there's an automatic bunt. I don't think there's an automatic swing away when it comes to that specific scenario. I think you kind of have to take the temperature of what the guy looks like that day. This is kind of where I'm anti-analytics. This is more whenever I'm, like, pro, what is the gut feeling with this? Like, more the Dusty Baker. Like, I don't care what the numbers tell me. Peña was 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. I think it's an easy bunt in that situation. If Peña was hitting line, like if Bregman had a good day at the plate, 2-for-4, missed a home run by 6 inches. He missed another home run that he yanked down the left field line, maybe by a couple of feet if he would have, you know, straightened it out, like Little League parents would say. Like, no way I'm bunting Alex Bregman in that spot, who's having a good day at the plate. Obviously not like a Yordan, who's really good, Kyle Tucker, who's really good, probably not even like an Altuve. But whenever I have a guy who's 0-for-3, struggling, 3 strikeouts, like even if it was 0-for-3 with laser right at people, okay, swing away. But when it's 0-for-3, 3 strikeouts, and you look overmatched at the plate that day, I'm okay with the bunt in that spot.
Yeah, I'm fine with it for that and the fact that, again, like I said, it takes you out of the double play. All you need is one hit, and you should conceivably tie the ball game. So it sets you up to put both runners in scoring position, tying run into scoring position. That's really huge for you. So those two scenarios in itself, on top of the fact that Peña was struggling, Peña, you know, has a propensity for double play balls and or the swing and miss as he was doing today. So I had zero problem with any of it. I actually thought he laid down a good bunt because of the fact that a lot of guys on this team can't bunt. He put you in a situation where you had just all you needed was one hit from two guys and you had a chance to tie the ball game.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Get your thoughts on it. Do we still feel confident about the Astros' chances to win Game 2 and Game 3? Will Kunkel just posted a stat that no team in the wild card era, in the wild card round, has come from an 0-1 deficit. Never happened, which is kind of interesting.
But
it's only been a couple of
years, team?
Period.
Or all teams.
Period. But I think this is only, what, the third year of it?
Yeah, that's true.
It's only the third year, so they're 0-for-8.
Okay.
Like, you know, I don't think that's just
I like
huge
the pitching scenario.
Number.
I like the fact the offense should be better against whoever they throw that's not Tarek Skubal. Let's buck the trend.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. He's still confident despite the Astros being down 1-0. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No Michael K. highlights. No Michael K. highlights. That broadcast was a hard listen. At least it wasn't Carl Ravitch. I think I'd rather have Michael K. than Carl Ravitch. But Michael K., not a fan of Michael K. Not a fan of Michael K. Todd Frazier's okay, I guess. Not my favorite, but I could tolerate Todd Frazier. Michael K., not so much. And then Tim Kirchen, that guy is a nerd. Tim Kirchen's quirky little stories. I don't need to be hearing about your quirky little stories in a playoff game, Timmy. If it's in the middle of 162, I get it. If it's Sunday Night Baseball in July, I get it. I don't need to know about what Babe Ruth's bat boy used to hand him in the third inning. I don't need to hear that, Kirchy.
Jeremy, today is Rod Carew's birthday, and it means nothing to the Astros and the Tigers. Tim Kirkjian, ESPN. Okay.
I don't mind him of the three. The other two I can absolutely not stand. And the last thing I need is a pseudo-Yankees broadcast when I'm trying to see the Astros win a series at the most crucial time of the year. I can't stand Michael Kay. I couldn't ever stomach watching him and A-Rod together doing their little ditty on ESPN2. And
But you watched it.
I don't need Todd for, huh?
But you watched
no,
it.
No, the one time I peeped it was the fact that Roger Clemens was on.
Yeah,
I wanted to see Clemens from his house here talking about, you know, telling some of his stories. I don't need to see the other two dudes. And Todd Frazier's fine on the Little League World Series. I don't need Todd Frazier chiming in on an Astros-Tigers game.
75 says Tim is an idiot. Battery says listening to Kay, knowing he hates the team he's broadcasting, makes it worse. It does. I don't want Michael Kay on my Astro playoff game. And Kirchin's fine during the regular season. Adorable, quirky, little nerdy guy. I don't need him on Astro playoff baseball. I hated that TV.
He's the lovable little baseball encyclopedia that could. That's fine. But Michael Kay trying to pull a y'all, too, during the open, it's like, the last thing you're going to use as a phrase, Mr. East Coast, Mr. Yankee guy, is y'all. Stop right there.
Todd, the show, Michael Kay bothered me less than I thought he would, but Todd likes New York, and Todd's the ultimate contrarian. 5-3-1-5, yeah, but also a team has never made the playoffs after starting the season 7-19, so streaks have to end at some point. I don't put a whole lot of weight in the wild card teams that are down 0-1, have lost all eight series. That will end at some point.
Small sample
and probably
size.
Sooner rather than later. I still like the Astros' chances to win. I would put it at 50-50. Yes, you have to win two games against a playoff caliber team. That is hot, but they'll also be with their, you know, they're going to throw openers. They're going to throw a bullpen. Now, it's a good bullpen. Like saying they're going to throw their bullpen at you. Well, their bullpen's stinking good. Like, they're going to throw some good arms at you. But I will give the Astros the pitching advantage. I like the Astros offense more. I still think they have a 50-50 shot to win this series.
Yeah, I think it's actually better than that. I know the odds shouldn't say that it is. I feel good about the series because I feel like that you're going to get a little extra energy boost and motivation from the fact that you put a rally together where you almost tied the game. And you got guys, Yordan, you know, for as much as we know that this entire team kind of lies on the shoulders of Yordan Alvarez, and I was deeply concerned coming into the series, forget like how close to 100% is he? Can he hit the baseball? Because that's all that really matters. And at the end of the day, when he hit the 100-plus mile-an-hour line drive off the mound straight back at Scooble, you realized, okay, against a guy that's that good of a pitcher to hit a ball that well, I feel really good that his timing's there, and that's hyper-important to this squad. So I feel good that they're going to put some runs up. I feel good that they've got the pitchers that they need at the right time to face this team. The Tigers don't hit home runs. They don't put a ton of runs on the board, and I like our chances.
Yeah. Did you wish Scooble got hurt whenever Yiner hit that line drive at him?
Well, it wasn't his throwing arm, so it bothered
me
less.
That's what I asked. Did you want him to be hurt? Or when he sprained his ankle? Arguing.
You caught the sprained ankle. I didn't know what the hell was wrong with him
at the
time.
Did you want him to be hurt? You're doing a good job of ducking the question here, Blankers. You should sign up to be a politician. You're ducking the question. Did you want Scooble to be hurt in either one of those moments?
I would love to have him out of the game, Jeremy.
All right. Yes. Yes.
I don't know. He still didn't say hurt, though.
Well, I mean, it kind of implies it. I think it implies it, though. I think it implies it.
I just need you guys to register to vote. This is a very important time. Yeah, and regardless of which way you vote, I just want to encourage you to vote.
If anybody wanted Scooble hurt today, in either one of those instances, the line drive comebacker that hit his right hand, the little sprained ankle, if any of y'all wanted him hurt, y'all can never get mad at me for saying I want to ear hole Lamar Jackson in a playoff game. You can never get mad at me again. All right? We got it? All right, 713-780-3776.
I'm still going to be mad at you.
Oh, no. 1313, speaking of such, come on, it's not like y'all are ever annoying. It's a good point. We're not. Never annoying. 713-780-3776. People are sending us inappropriate text messages.
At least you guys would never point it out either.
I think these are Tiger fans trolling us now, actually. I think some Tiger fans
feeling
are
pretty good
us.
Right now, I got to believe.
Yeah, all right, 713-780-3776. So I'm 50-50. You're slightly more. Where is BMAC Graph? BMAC Graph, where are you? We haven't got your thoughts. You still okay with the Astros in the series?
I expected the Astros to win this series 2-1 with the one being today. So nothing's moved for me. I mean, obviously the first eight innings of offense weren't great until they loaded the bases in the ninth and drove home one with the Yonner Diaz single. But I haven't moved at all, so I'd put it about – I'll put it 66% Astros.
All right, 66?
Yeah, 66.
All right. 713-780-3776. What do you think the Astros' chances are to still win this series? Win tomorrow with Hunter Brown, win the following day on Thursday with maybe Maybe Yusei Kikuchi if he's not needed by a spotter tomorrow. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Oktoberfest coming up on Saturday. Make plans now. It's going to be so much fun. Saturday, October 5th. Sunday, October 6th. This Saturday, this Sunday, Oktoberfest on the Kima Boardwalk. German beer, delicious. German food, delicious. Live music, cornhole tournament, Steinholding competition, costume contest, and much more. It's going to be a great time. Also, it's free for you to attend, walk around, so head out there October 5th, October 6th, this Saturday, this Sunday. Beer tickets, beer steins, food tickets can be purchased at the event or online today. Some of the beer that you might choose to sample, Yingling Oktoberfest, Voodoo Juicy Haze IPA, Shiner Oktoberfest, and much, much more. You can get the souvenir steins available for purchase now, KimaBoardwalk.com, while supplies last. And the food, out of this world. For a little appetizer, just put a little something in your belly. How about that soft pretzel with the beer cheese? Oh, it's so good. Sausage on a stick, German potato salad, German beer, bratwurst, delicious. And then last but not least, schnitzel on a stick. It is fantastic. Get out there Saturday. Live music will start at 1. That'll carry you to 10 o'clock. Steinholding competition. Cornhole tournament at night. And then we'll do it all over again on Sunday. Live music noon till 9. Steinholding competition at 5. Cornhole at 5:30. Check out KimaBoardwalk.com. Check out the entire concert lineup and see the full schedule of events. It's the Kima Boardwalk Oktoberfest. Learn more at KimaBoardwalk.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Soccer matters in Glenn Davis. Glenn Davis started a fight with the Houston Texans media today, by the way. So Glenn Davis will be on next. Top of the hour, carrying you until 7 o'clock. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. John, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, John?
Yeah, man. Hey, how y'all doing, man? You know, honestly, my feeling is this right here, man. I feel like the best lineup. I feel like they should have started that world champion, that he's up in age a little bit, but he's been there before and all those hot spots. I would have started Haywood over mine. I would have started Singleton at first base because Singleton, he might hit you one anytime, and he's probably a better player when he's starting. You bring Singleton in a later inning and it's cold and expect him to do something. I just don't feel that was the way to go. My lineup would have been Singleton starting and would have been Haywood starting. You can't underestimate the next champion. And honestly, frankly, with you all, if you'll mind me saying, I don't even know why Myers is still on this team, brother. I really don't, but that's what I got to say about it. And one more thing, his father was using 1,000 pitches like he was playing the Dodgers or playing the Yankees or something. I didn't even get that one. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate the call, John. Love the passion. I don't think you can agree with that. I can't agree with that just simply because of the fact that you're talking about, you know, one of the best lefties in baseball. And so throwing Jason Hayward against the lefty, and you saw the fact that Jason Hayward has to really sell out to catch up with a fastball that's anywhere near above average, and a lefty causes all kinds of troubles to that, and Singleton's the same way. Singleton facing a lefty is going to struggle mightily with balls coming at him and then diving out over the other side of the plate, and the fact that he has a 100-mile-an-hour fastball to go with everything he's got. I understand that you want the kind of hitters that you're looking for in those two guys, but I can't expect that those two guys were going to have success against the best left-hander in baseball this year from a starting pitcher perspective.
Yeah, I can't throw Hayward and Singleton out there against lefties. Singleton's been terrible against lefties. Hayward, like, literally doesn't play against lefties. I expect them. I haven't seen who Hinch is going to use as a starter tomorrow. It might not matter if he's going opener, if he's going bullpen day. I would have to imagine if there is a righty starting the game or if there's a righty that's going to be the bulk guy, I would expect Singleton to be at first base, and I would expect Hayward to be in the outfield. But I was okay with today's lineup. If anything, I might have used Chaz because Chaz started to get hot a little bit there at the end. He hits lefties better. It shouldn't matter that he had a good at plate appearance in the ninth inning, because that shouldn't have influenced my decision earlier. The only reason I was okay with Chaz not being in the lineup, though, is because you don't really know what he is.
Right.
Because of the injury, yeah, he saw live pitching, but that's different than playoff pitching. So I was okay with today's lineup. I thought maybe you could see Chaz because there's a lefty on the mound and Chaz hits lefties well. But I was okay with today's lineup. I thought Chaz did have a good plate appearance, though.
He did.
To where if, like, you are facing a lefty at some point in these playoffs, I would go with Chaz over Dubon, maybe even Myers.
I would, too. I like the at-bat from Chaz. But you're right. From the standpoint of Yordan is just the rarity that doesn't need to go and go for any kind of, you know, extended period of time or you know, rehab assignments, things like that. Yordan can just turn it on, flip a switch whenever he needs to get his timing back, and it seems to be there. We saw it again today. I don't feel the same way about Chaz. Yes, Chaz maybe figured some things out when he was down in Sugar Land, came back, looked like he was a little better. But once he got hurt, you just don't know what you don't know, and you can't help but go back to knowing what you knew all season, which was Chaz wasn't a very good hitter. So I didn't need to see Chaz in the lineup today. I didn't expect to see Chaz in the lineup today. But obviously with all hands on deck and depending on what A.J. Hinch does, and especially because he's going to be making multiple substitutions, I have a lot of confidence in Jason Hayward. I have a lot of confidence in the other guys that he can use. And John Singleton showed you that when he plays, he has the propensity to get hits in a game and be a good hitter for you. But Caratini, I don't have any problem with ever at first base or when he's in the lineup, because he's a switch hitter, and he gets knocks for you as well.
He is better as a lefty than he is a righty, which kind of throws it a wrinkle into the whole Singleton thing. So it'll be interesting to see there. And then the opponent doesn't really matter to me. Like, you're managing a playoff game against the Tigers. Who cares if it's the Yankees or the Dodgers? To me, you manage the game. You manage a playoff game the same, no matter who the opponent is. Now, of course, you play like the splits and stuff like that. But like him using Hader in the ninth inning today, we don't like. Some people are okay with it. If it was the Yankees or the Dodgers in the other dugout, I still wouldn't have liked it. Yeah, the opponent to me is something that factors into this in my mind.
I'm playing to my strengths, and I'm playing to put my team in the best position to win, and it doesn't matter what the uniform the other team's wearing. It matters, I think, which arm the pitcher's pitching which.
I'm with you on that. Jason Hayward was a good addition. Yeah, he was. Dana Brown was a good addition. He's just not going to start against lefties. 5199, I had to stop watching football because I want everyone hurt when I do. Fair point. At least you're honest. 5199, yes, I wanted Scooble hurt. Hinch apparently said Scooble had cramps. That's the reason that he left the game in the sixth. Now, that was about the time that his time would have been up anyways. Like, he threw 88 pitches. He almost never goes above 100. Mm-mm. He has like a few games where he's went above 100. But if he's healthy, do you leave him in for the seventh to at least start the inning? Probably.
Probably, because you can save another one of your arms. And you saw, to your point of how good this bullpen can be for them, but you saw Vest today, and Vest can bring it. And they've got some guys on the back end of their bullpen that also can top out at 100 miles an hour that have filthy stuff. And if you could save one of those guys or take an inning, because I think Vest went two, that you could save a little extra wear and tear on a guy that you're probably going to lean on when you lean on all these arms that you still have to go to. Sure, you'd love to do that, but, you know, Scooble had some, regardless of what situations he didn't have to face, there was some high leverage. He ended up with two different injuries. He had the liner back to him. He had the injury with his ankle, and if he also was experiencing cramps at a certain point, he did his job.
Yeah. 1313, I love listening to the show because you guys have a good sense of humor. Send the nice stuff to other shows. We don't like niceties. 9229, I think it's hilarious to hear all these so-called Astro fans say that it's over. It's freaking baseball, man. Teams win two games in a row all the time. If anything, this was a must-win for Detroit, having their Cy Young pitcher going. The Astros clearly have the advantage in pitching going forward, and I'm not even an Astro fan. I do think that's true. Detroit winning this game was far more important than the Astros winning game one. I think that is a rational take.
No, I looked at the series, and the biggest thing that I was fearful of the Detroit Tigers was the guy that pitched today for them. The rest of their lineup doesn't scare me. I know that everybody can say they were the hot team coming in, and that's fair, and that's true. But to me, I was hopeful that they could get to Scooble, but looking at his record, looking at his numbers, looking at his dominance, I was anticipating this was going to be a three-game series, and if there was a game to lose, it was going to be game one, and I hoped that the offense jumped on him early and maybe set a tone that they could capitalize on and kind of ride some momentum with. It didn't happen. But I do like their chances in game two and in game three if they get there, because of the pitching and the fact that I believe this hitting is going to be just fine.
I like your chances in Game 3 a lot less if you use Yusei Kikuchi in the first night of tomorrow's game, though. So I would hesitate. Please, Joe, reconsider. Please do not use Yusei Kikuchi unless the game goes to extra innings. And even in that case, like maybe 13th, 14th inning.
I mean, he's got to be the last guy out of the bullpen, right?
Can we just be realistic?
That's the only scenario where he should be
in. I do not want him. I don't want him to even think about going into the bullpen. I don't want him to have his spikes on, turf shoes only on tomorrow, Kikuchi. I don't want you putting your spikes on until the game goes to extra innings. That's the only time Yusei can go to the
7 hours of sleep tonight. That's it. Because he only needs the 14. He only needs the 14 when he's pitching. So I don't need, because I'm not using him. I think that was coach speak. Obviously, you're going to say as a manager, all hands are on deck.
Sure.
Everybody that I have ready, I'm going to use if I need to get a win. But there's no way in hell I'm using him unless it's an absolute last-ditch desperation. I got to have a guy eat innings because we're late.
I'd like to believe that, Joel, and I think I do. But after we saw how he used Hader today, the decision we disagreed with Yordan, I'm not always sure if Yordan sees or Espada sees things the ways we do. So I'm not 100% confident that he'll use Ration there when we're talking about how Kikuchi gets used.
Yeah, today was a baseball game, though. Like, Frommer didn't pitch well, could have easily got out of the second inning, though, without giving up a run. Despite not pitching well, despite not having command, could have easily gotten out of the second inning. Whether it's not walking Torkelson, whether it's turning the double play, yes, you give credit to the runner hustling. But how about just getting out of the inning? Mm-hmm. Like, there was two, every single Tiger run in that second inning, which is all the runs they scored, came with two outs.
That's ridiculous.
All three came with two outs. You look at the Astros offensively. Alex Bregman missed a home run twice by, the first one that he yanked foul, a few feet. The second one that he hit off the top of the Crawford box, wall. That was an inch away from being a home run, 6 inches away from being a home run. So it was like one of those inches, like game is decided. It's a game of inches type of thing. But you lose and you got to win the next two.
Yeah, but you got to feel, you shouldn't feel like there's no hope. You should feel confident.
I feel like most people don't think there's no hope. I think it's a loud view.
I'm kind of, when you see a text like that, and you're right that there are people that are already pulling the season's over, great year, guys. See you next season, kind of things.
I think they're trolling.
I hope they are, because I think that you saw enough positives, and just what you saw in the ninth inning gives you hope that this team wasn't completely outmatched. And once you got Scooble out of the picture, you had guys throwing 100 miles an hour that you were on. You had great at-bats from some of the guys you didn't expect to have great at-bats. Hayward got completely outmatched the last at-bat that he had and got burned by a fastball, and he was on it. Chaz had the at-bat we're talking about. There's a lot to be – and then when you talk about the pitching matchup, I think they're in a good as good a spot as you can be down 0-1 in a three-game series.
1-0-2-9, if the Astros make it to Thursday, do we see Scooble? There's no chance
no
you're going to see Scooble on one-day rest after 88 pitches.
No freaking
I don't think Madison Bumgarner would pitch on one day's rest in 88 pitches after a game one. Yeah, there's no way.
No.
There's no way he's throwing.
But if they do, the broadcast will tell us how brilliant A.J. Hinch is and what a great job he's, because that was the entire storyline the entire game.
They were riding A.J. Hinch today. There's no doubt about
that. Every single move he made was the smartest move a manager's ever made.
How many Astros fans?
I know. It's like, where have you been?
Yeah. are gonna jump on that bandwagon.
51-60, have a newborn at home, so I missed it. Congrats. Why didn't Blanco come in right after Fromber instead of later in the game? I think they were putting out the fire, and then they wanted to give Ronel Blanco a fresh inning. But then it's like, uh-oh, there's a left-handed pocket that I want to use my lefty against. So let me use my lefty against that left-handed pocket, and then we'll go to Blanco.
And Neris has playoff experience in high-leverage situations to get you out of a jam like that, whereas I don't believe Blanco does.
Yeah, but he did bring Blanco in during the middle of an inning.
He did, but it wasn't
King.
But it wasn't in the same kind of leverage as what Neris was facing.
Yeah, I don't remember if there was anybody on.
I think there was a runner on third base.
I don't know. I'm talking about when he came in.
When Neris did, there was a runner on third. Yeah, I don't remember what Blanco did. Yeah,
when Blanco came in. All right, does it for us. Tomorrow, same thing. You can listen to the Astros right here, ESPN 97.5. We'll be on with immediate reaction afterwards. Brian behind the glass doing partial work. He's blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow after the Astros game. Houston Soccer Matters. Glenn Davis up right now.
ESPN 97.5. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.